You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Ready for a good word? You know, it doesn't matter what I think or what you think. What matters is what God says. Yeah, that went over real big. And it doesn't matter whether I, you know, do a good job or, you know, have some catchy sayings, make some good points. If you walk out of here with something that I said that helped you, it might do you a little good for a little while, but you don't need a word from me. You need a word from God.
That's right.
Amen. So listen closely, you know, as always when we minister, listen for the scriptures, listen for what God is saying and what He is speaking to us, because if you get a word from God, it will change your life forever.
Yes.
I mean, when you're out there in the battle and the bullets are flying and you're in the middle of the fray, as it were, you know, the temptation to give up is pretty strong if you're just doing what somebody else told you to do. But if you know you're doing what God told you to do, you'll hang in there. You won't quit. Amen? Because you know it works. Praise God. That's why we always say close to the Word. We are International Outreach Church, but you know, it doesn't matter whether we're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Catholic, Church of Christ, right on down the list. Churches, I'll miss some if I keep naming them. It's not those doctrines, including this doctrine, International Outreach Church doctrine, that sets you free. It's God's Word that sets you free. And so always we should be listening and making sure that what we believe is the Bible. Can we back it up with the Word? Check me out. I say that all the time because it's not my opinion or my idea or my concept or my logic or my reasoning that's going to help you. I mean, I hope it's in line with the Word, but the only reason it would help you would be the fact that it's lined up with the Word. So don't take my word for it. Let's go to the Word and find out what He says. Amen? Hallelujah. So, having said that, turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 91, chapter 91. Man, this is going to be good.
Ooh.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Amen.
You're going to love it.
Amen.
Y'all just try to settle down now, okay? Just calm down. This, I mean, get your seatbelts on, whatever you got to do. I mean, this is good. This is God's Word. Amen?
Amen.
I believe this will help you. You know, when I think about God in my life and what a difference He's made and making, when I think about how good He is and how much He loves me and cares for me, you know, what I had to be down about, what I had to be depressed about. And you know, there are times that I do forget that and get down. But you only get down when you get your eyes off Him and off of what He's done and doing and off the fact that He cares. You are not hopeless. You are not helpless. You are not alone. You have never been alone a day in your life since the day you got saved. Because He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you even unto the ends of the earth. And He's not just there to go through trouble with you. He is there to deliver you from the trouble. He's there to help you in the trouble. I mean, He's not making you sick and healing you. He's not knocking you down and picking you up. He's not schizophrenic. He's good. Hello, God's not bipolar. I think all these tornadoes, God didn't do that. Listen, that's, you say, well, that sure happened. Well, of course it did. This world is broken. It's fallen. You know, you know, sin brought death into the world. The Scripture's very plain that death came by sin. You can read it in the Bible. Adam brought it into the world. And when he brought sin into the world, death came into the world. When death came, then curses came into the world. And then, of course, storms and all those things. You know, Jesus stopped a storm. He wasn't fighting God. He wasn't stopping a storm God started. Are you with me? So, you know, often people ask in times like that, well, what's God doing there? What is He doing with all that? Well, actually, God wasn't doing anything. That's the result of this world. It's a messed up world. We're not in heaven. God shows up because He shows up through people like Michael going down there to help. He shows up through the Red Cross and different people and churches praying. And, you know, I think it was Billy Graham's daughter that was asked one time by a journalist. Remember Katrina hit? And they were asking her, well, what do you think God was doing in Katrina and all the flooding and the hurricane that came through there? And she said, well, let me see here. I'm paraphrasing greatly. She says, we've taken God out of our schools. We've tried to get Him out of the Pledge of Allegiance. There are people trying to get Him off our coins. You can't pray in high school football games in public. She said, I don't think God was even involved. I mean, we've taken God completely out of it. Are you out there?
Yeah.
She says, I don't believe God was doing anything. Are you with me?
Yeah.
We have the idea when something bad happens, God's behind it, because we all have insurance policies and they say acts of God, but that's not what the Scripture says. Are you with me? What happens when things like that happen? God's not present. A lot of times in our life, you know, we can have the hand of God on us in protection. That's no reflection on these people been hurt in this storm. Don't take this wrong, okay? Because that can happen randomly to anybody, so that's not an attack on their faith when we say this. But I do know this, that many times when bad things are happening, God's hand's not there. It's not that His hand's there doing something. His hand's not there. You know this to be true in your own life. Go live in sin and see what happens. No thanks, really. Don't do it. I just said that, you know, of course, as an example. But it's not that God's going to do a bunch of bad things to you. That's going to happen to you because you get out from under God's hand of protection. And see, what we learn from the Psalms, and of course this Psalm is real plain, is that if we'll get close to God, we'll have His protection. Are you with me? Not to say that you'll never have anything bad happen to you. We live in a broken, fallen world. But you sure can tip the scales in your favor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Ed, for that. That's good. Psalms 91, verse 1. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He that dwells, you know, these are familiar verses. Many of us could probably quote this psalm. This is a very popular psalm. You know, it's along the lines of Psalms 23, Psalms 91, great psalms. We just got through teaching Psalms 103, you know, last Wednesday night. What an awesome psalm, Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all our iniquities and heals all of our diseases and redeems our life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies and satisfies your mouth with good things through youth is renewed like the eagle. I mean, it's just great stuff. The Psalms. Hallelujah. And here He's saying, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Now that's intimacy. That's spending time with God. There is a benefit from that. And God is calling us to spend time with Him because He is the one that can protect us. If we'll spend time with Him, He's the one that can help us and nurture us and heal us and bless us. It's not that He's being possessive. It's not that He's being a tyrant and dictating to us these demands. He just knows that He is what we need. Are you with me? And He loves us so much, He's compelling us and moving us and wooing us, as it were, to get to Him because we need Him. He is what we've been looking for all of our life. And if we'll dwell in His secret place, I mean, well, some commentaries say the holiest of holies, you know, which was reserved for the high priest under the old covenant. But we're all priests now under the new covenant. And we can all come to the holy of holies by the blood of Jesus, the Scripture says. Are you with me? If we'll spend time with God and be a Jesus person, be quick to pray and quick to praise. Hello. How many times things happen during the day we don't stop and thank God? You know, we don't give Him the credit, give Him the glory for the good things that are happening in our life. But spend time with Him. If you do that, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Notice that condition there, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. There's qualification, there's condition. Well, that person that's intimate with God, that spends time with God, that talks of God, that looks to God, that prays and seeks His face, he'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, that means protection. He'll shadow. We'll stand in His shadow, His protection. Isn't that right?
Yep.
Hallelujah. So I'll have God as my protection if I spend time with God. He'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I love that. That's actually the first word He says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That word Most High in Hebrew is Elyon. That's a specific Hebrew word. And then He says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's the word Shaddai, you know, which is the all-sufficient one. I love that. So all-sufficient one will be all-sufficient for you if you'll spend time with Him. Amen. And then He says, I will say of the Lord. Woo! Man. This is where it gets down to it. I love this. I always love to stop here on this verse because really, it doesn't matter what everybody else is saying about God. A lot of people say a lot of things about God. Some right, some wrong. Some just completely off the wall. Some a mixture of both. Some truth, a little twisted. But you know what really boils down to is what you say about God. Are you with me? And He says, I will say of the Lord. And that's very important that you say the right thing about God. Now, how are you going to know that? Well, you're going to have to get in His Word and find out. Spend time with Him, obviously. And He says this, He says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, not my problem. No, He's not my enemy. He's not my obstacle. He is not the one destroying me. He is my refuge. That's the one I run to in trouble. He's not my trouble. He's where I run in trouble. Y'all catching this? Now that's what I'll say. I don't know what everybody else is going to say. I think of Joshua. You know what he told him? He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I just love that. I don't know what everybody else is going to do. I can't control everybody else. I really got quite enough right here with me to control and get a hold of without having to control and fix everybody else. I mean, I got a full-time job with me. How about you? You know, you spend time on you, and then everything else is kind of straightened out. But see, what are you saying about God? That's the question. Well, the psalmist here says, I will say of the Lord. He is my refuge. That's what I will say. My fortress. If I'm going to fight, I'm going to fight this battle in life. And life is a battle. Don't you think it's not? There's a battle going on for your soul. There's going on a battle going on for your marriage. There's a battle going on for your kids. There's a battle going on for this country and this nation. There's a battle going on. The devil doesn't like people, doesn't like you. Hello. You can win this battle. But you need to understand where your fortress is, where you fight from. God is our fortress.
Yeah.
Amen. So I don't just run to Him in the time of trouble as a refuge. I fight from my standpoint and my relationship with God. That's the only way I'm going to win. I'm never going to be in fighting shape. I'm never going to get down to my fighting weight, which I really don't want to talk about that, but anyway. until I get with Him, because He's my refuge and my fortress. Hallelujah. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Good stuff. I will say of the Lord, that's interesting because that Hebrew word is Jehovah. You know, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Y'all remember that song?
Yeah.
Okay, good deal. Angie, you don't recognize it? I could have chopped it up. If I sang it right, maybe you'd know it. But anyway, it's just a Hebrew name. Jehovah Jireh is my provider. That's what it means. So the word Jehovah, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shammah, but Jehovah is God. And so it says here, I will say of the Lord, Jehovah. You know, it's interesting, there's different words translated even. First verse says, the Most High, which is Elyon, the Almighty, which is Shaddai. I will say of the Lord, which is Jehovah, He's my refuge, my fortress, my God, which is Elohim. The Hebrew word Elohim. There's four different Hebrew words for God. I mean, there just weren't enough descriptions for Him, see? Often think people will say, well, why are there four Gospels? Why didn't they just give us one? Hey, I'm thinking, why did they just give us four? They could have given us 100 and wouldn't have covered all the bases. I mean, you get a little bit more out of each one, don't you? You see Jesus in a little different light in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I mean, you see Him, you know, in Matthew, coming to the Jews, a very kingly gospel. And Mark, he's just a fast-paced gospel. He's casting out devils and healing the sick in the first chapter. You know, and then in Luke, he's more human side. We see him as a little child growing up in the temple. You know, he's 12 years old. And then you get over into John. Man, that's a real spiritual side. That's where more references to the Holy Spirit than any other gospel. In fact, all the other three gospels put together, you see him, man, filled with the Spirit and Spirit. The Spirit this, and the Spirit this, and the Spirit that, and the Holy Ghost this, and the Holy Ghost that. I mean, there's different sides that you see of Jesus. Just like you were to ask four people about Mo. I mean, they would give you four different sides. They see different things in Mo. I wasn't going to pick on me. That's why I picked him out. Hello. And it'd all be good, Mo. It'd be good stuff. But every person would see something a little different, you know, and so we've got four Gospels. Man, I wish we had 100 Gospels. 100 is 100. That's East Texas for 100. 100. But so here we have these four names. Good, there's many names for God. Because he's everything. He's healer. He's Savior. He's Redeemer. He's Life Giver. He's Protector. Are you with me? He's the Lily of the Valley, the fairest of 10,000 to our soul. Amen. He's our rock and our refuge, our shield, and our exceeding great reward. He is our buckler. I mean, He's everything. He's all that. He's our all in all. So He described, very descriptive here, very personal here. That's real important. You need to get a hold of that. It's only to the degree you personalize God's Word and personalize your relationship with Him that God's Word will help you and God will help you. You have to make it personal. He can't be out there. He can't be a healer. He has to be your healer. He can't be a shepherd. That's not what Psalm 23 says. It didn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He said the Lord is my shepherd. Are you with me? And even here he didn't say, I will say of the Lord, He is a refuge. No, He's my refuge. No. Let's just get down to it. He's not the one that set somebody, grandma free and grandpa free, thank God. He's not the one that, you know, that set Moses free and Abraham free, and that's all true. I understand that. See, He's not just their Savior. He's not just their refuge. He's not just their... He is, I will say. I will say the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. Man, I love that. I love that. But see, that's what separates many times a connection with God and His Word. Your miracle, the answer to your prayer, that's what separates you from receiving or not receiving, getting your miracle or not getting your miracle, because we don't make it personal. See, too many times we think of God in terms, abstract terms, all-knowing, omniscient, omnipresent, everywhere at once, all-powerful, omnipotent. But those are all abstract terms, and I don't disagree with those terms. I think they're right. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is ever-present. Sure, He is all that, but that does not help me. He can't be a Lord. He has to be my Lord. See, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you have to do that, see? And so when you make that connection, now He's your God. I love Jehoshaphat. You know, Jehoshaphat, when he was surrounded by the children of Ammon and Mount Seir and outnumbered completely, they went down to their knees and prayed. Went to the temple, just like the Bible said to do, and call on His name. And said, if you'd call on my name in this temple. And he looked down from heaven and he says, Lord, he said, aren't you our God? I love that. I mean, he didn't say, aren't you the God that said that years ago? He says, no, you said this, Lord. Now, aren't you our God? Wow. Man, thank God God hadn't changed. You know, lots changed in 2,000 years since Jesus came and died and rose again, but God hadn't changed. Lots have changed. Culture's changed. Customs changed. Technology's changed. Man, we got iPhones now. You know, they didn't have those 2,000 years ago. But I'll tell you this, He's the Lord God. He changes not. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same God that did what He did 2,000 years ago, still doing what He did 2,000 years ago for all those that call upon Him. Hallelujah. And in this time we made that connection, make that personal. God hadn't stopped moving, we stopped believing. Woo! Are you with me? So here we are, we've gone through two verses. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, hey, why not just make that you? I love quoting this psalm, and I do this a lot with a lot of scriptures, but I'll just make a confession out of a scripture, you know, and make it personal. This is not crazy or sacrilegious or heretical. It's really what God wants us to do. I'll go through here and say, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, therefore I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. I don't know what's going on in the world. It changes every day. Goodness gracious, the news changes. The economy changes. Everything's changing, constantly changing. You know, when the Bible tells us very plainly in 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, while we look not to things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal or changing. How true is that? If you've lived any time at all, you've seen changes in your life. Goodness gracious. You know, I've seen several changes in my life, and people older than I have seen some tremendous changes. I talk to my kids about some of the things we did when they were little. They don't even know what we're talking about. I remember when 8-tracks came out. Hello. Now people don't even know what 8-tracks are. Hello. I remember when cassettes came out after that. I remember the first guy in my home, my town, Center, Texas, where I was born and raised, First friend of mine, first guy I knew that got a cassette player in his car. He had custom put it in there, and he had this little thing. And he said, "Man, this is cutting edge. This is the deal now. This music is so much." But he put that little thing in there, and that music came out of those speakers. And I thought, that is so cool. We said that back then, cool, hip, groovy, all those things. I remember that. I mean, goodness. You know, I think of the changes in my life, but God's never changed. Brent and I got married. Brent had a Volkswagen. That's why I married her, because I'd wrecked my pickup 3 days before we got married. And that's not true. I did wreck my pickup before we got married. Totaled it out 3 days before we got married. So I picked up the payments on her 1972 Super Beetle with rally wheels. 1972 is the first time they came out with the Super Beetle, you know, and it's a foot longer than a regular Beetle, you know. And it only held 11 gallons. You couldn't even put $10 in it. The gas was 25 cents a gallon. Come on. I think of those days, you know. I'm sounding old, but anyway. You know, we bought a brand new mobile home, fully furnished. Back then, they furnished them. They had, you know, they put furniture in them and beds and everything. You couldn't sleep in the bed because you'd roll toward the middle. You know, those mattresses were terrible. But we got that mobile home, and, you know, bought it brand new mobile home, fully furnished, 52 feet long, I think, by 12. The payment was $77.52 a month. Central air and heat, fully furnished. Volkswagen was about $75 a month, I think, is what we paid. Yeah, times have changed. I made $1.60 an hour. That was minimum wage. Proud to get it, you know. Oh, well. But, I mean, come on. That's just my lifetime, and I'm a young man. Come on. Don, you've got to agree with me on this. I'm a young man. Young man. Young man. But God hadn't changed. He has not changed. Did you know he met our needs then? And he's meeting our needs today. He's still, everybody called on his name then got saved. Everybody calls on him today gets saved. Hallelujah. He has not changed. So we live in a changing world. No doubt about that. Come on, you don't have to have a lot of snap to figure that one out. But God doesn't change. And that's what the psalmist is telling us. I mean, you could read, this is like reading off the newspaper today. This is still true right now. It'll still be true 10 years from now, 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now. It doesn't matter. It'll still be true. God's good. Amen. And he says, this is interesting. This is like a personal confession he's making. I will say, he is my. And then he gets a little prophetic, I guess you'd say, and says, surely he will deliver you. I like that. So there's a shift here. It's not just for him, it's for anybody. Amen? It's not just a personal thing for me, it's for you too. I mean, he gets personal and he waxes a little prophetic here. You know, there's some Jewish commentaries that even intimate or speculate, probably a better word for it, because I don't believe it in any sense of the word, but it's interesting. They think this is a conversation between David, Solomon, and God, that David says, I will, and Solomon looks back to David and says, surely he will deliver you. Now, there's no history for that, and that's not Bible, and I don't believe that. I just think it's an interesting point, because the tenses change or the person voice changes here. And even at the last, we know God starts speaking personally at the last. Notice in that 14th verse, it says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Well, that's God talking there. So whatever the case, you've got at least two conversations going on here. Are you with me? The one who wrote the first 13 verses and then him recording what God said in that 14th and 15th and 16th verses. I love that, because the Bible does say, let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So you've got the witness of the writer here and the witness of God himself who spoke at the last. Whew, that's good stuff. But waxing prophetically, and I love that, because you do wax prophetic if you get involved with God very long at all, you're going to start thinking about others. I don't know how you can get away from it. You know, see, if you'll make God your priority, you'll reach out to others. If you just make others your priority and God's not, you'll get burnt out, you'll quit, and get frustrated. Some people will burn you, and some people don't do right, and you won't maintain your attitude. But if you make God first in your life, he'll give you the strength, lead you to the right people, help you overcome the wrong ones. Sometimes you got to help the greedy to reach the needy. Are you with me? But if God's first, God will always send you to others. That's why the greatest commandment is not love your neighbor. The greatest commandment is thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your strength. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. If you put God first, you will always reach out to others. If you put others first, you won't always, and others won't always lead you to God. But God will always lead you to others. Isn't that good? I mean, when you think about it, that's right, and that's what the Scripture says. And so he really is waxing eloquent here, you know, on his confession of who God is to him. But he can't help but, in doing that, he can't help but think of others. And now he gets prophetic, and he starts talking about others, and he says in the third verse, surely he will deliver you. I love that. You know, I could say he's delivered me. I could say he's answered my prayer. I could give you testimony after testimony of how God has come through time and time again in many different areas of my life, not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, but financial and on and marital and family and on and on and on. And surely he'll deliver you. Are you with me? Because he didn't love me more than he loves you. That's what the psalmist is saying here. He says, I mean, that's nice to read about this man, whoever this is. We don't know if it's David or Moses. Some people say it was Moses. Psalms 90 was written by Moses. Some people say it might be David. We don't know. It's not tagged. It didn't say who it was. But whoever it was, we could just relegate it to him and say, well, that's nice. He had all that happening. But he didn't leave us that option. He stopped in the middle of his thought or speaking and confession and said, surely he'll deliver you. Amen. Surely he'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Rescue you, some translations say. He'll rescue you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence, the King James says, noisome pestilence, or a fatal plague. Hey, this is kind of interesting. You know, I was looking up this word noisome pestilence in the Hebrew. It's the word deber, D-E-B-E-R, deber. And the root word of deber is debar. Say that 10 times real fast. Deber, debar, debar, debar. Okay. Debar, deber is, you know, plague, pestilence, but it comes from debar, which is a spoken word. And there are some translations that say he'll deliver you. That's why the King James says noisome pestilence. Notice it say that. It doesn't say that in most modern translations, but it says noisome. What is that? Loud, noisome pestilence. You know, some things, that curses that come against us, people that say things about us. So it's not just disease or plagues. It is that, but it has its root in something spoken against us. But it says he will deliver. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, you're not getting it, I can tell. No, you didn't get it. Let me go over that one more time. Not just disease, not just plague, not just viruses, as it were, but just words spoken against us. I like that. I think that'll preach. In fact, that's what Isaiah 54:17, you know what it says? It says, no weapon formed against us will prosper. Now listen. Every tongue that rises up against thee in judgment, you'll condemn. That's what it says. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Isaiah 54:17. So actually, no weapon. Well, there's a weapon there. He's talking about people saying things. No weapon formed against you will prosper, but every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you'll condemn. So God protects me from false witness. He protects me from lies. Have you ever been lied about?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on now. You don't get out much if you haven't been lied about. You know what I'm saying? And sometime in the natural, that's pretty detrimental, especially in business and so on and so forth. It can cost money and lose jobs and, hey, marriages and everything else start from just lies, things that didn't have false accusations. Well, hey, God will deliver us from that. I love that. Not just noisome, not just pestilence, not just plagues, but, you know, noisome, words, yeah. Come on, just constant. You don't have to pull the sheet over your head and hope all the bad people go away. You can pray Hallelujah. That's good stuff, isn't it? Now that's the Hebrew word, and if you're looking all that up. D-E-B-E-R, Deber, is the one translated noise and pestilence, but the root of it where it comes from is Dabar, D-A-B-A-R. Okay. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I do make coffee, Hebrews. Come on, y'all get with it. Come on, help me here tonight. I'm pulling out all the stops. I'm running out here. Come on. Okay. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence or plague or even bad words said against you. He shall cover you with his feathers. I love that. If you could imagine, you know, God is like a hen. Even Jesus said this, Matthew 23. Remember where he said this? Matthew 23, 30, is it 37? Where he looked at Jerusalem and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, how often would I have gathered you under my wings," as a mother hen protects her little chicks. Protection, that's what he's talking about, see. And we are that to him. You know, the Hebrew mind's different than the Greek mind. If you read the Hebrew, the Old Testament, it's interesting. When it talks about God, it's always related to you somehow. He's God the healer. He's God the Savior. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Nisi. He's Jehovah, you know, Nisi. He has a relationship with us. Even the Hebrew word creator, you know, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The word creator, to create in Hebrew, has the connotation of preparing a nest, preparing something for a mother hen or a bird, preparing a nest for its children. So God, even in the word creation, is not abstract. He's not just making something. He's making something for us. Are you with me? And Jesus comes along and pens it. I mean, Father, 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 Father. So God's not abstract. He's not... See, sometimes our theology gets all messed up sometimes because we think in terms of omnipotence and all-powerful, sovereign God. He's sovereign. I understand all that. I understand he's all-powerful. But he's more than all that. Come on now. I'm in this equation. He's my God, and he loves me, and he's my shepherd, and he's my healer. And see, we got to watch this abstract stuff. For long, I'll be writing a book about Brenda, and I won't even be talking to her. I'll just be selling my book, you know. Come on, she's a person. She's not a doctrine. And sometimes we're more concerned about, say, a doctrine about God instead of God. We don't even know him. Are you catching what I'm saying here?
Yes.
See, Jesus is not a doctrine or a teaching. He is a person. That's why you can't talk me out of knowing him. I already met him. Too late. Come on now. You can say whatever you want to about him, but I know Jesus. Well, you believe in him, I believe in him. Oh, no, I don't believe him. I know him. I met him. I know Jesus. He's changed my life. He's more than a teaching. Oh, he's been with me through thick and thin. He showed up way too many times in my life. He has come through over and over and over. I have been touched by the flame of the fire of God too many times. Hallelujah. I have sensed his presence. I have been overwhelmed by his goodness. I've had him... I mean, I know him. He's not... You couldn't talk me out of knowing Jesus no more than you can talk me out of knowing my wife. I've gone beyond the doctrine and met the man. Are you with me? I could write you a book about Brennan and tell you all kinds of things, but it wouldn't be the same thing as knowing her. Woo! Man. You got to make this connection, see? That's what the psalmists do. That's what I love about the Psalms. It's always so intimate, so personal, so, my God, help me, stand with me, defend me, Lord, vindicate me, Lord. Show up, God. And of course, when he shows up, he shows out. Amen? He always does. Says he'll, like a mother hen, see? Like a mother hen, he'll cover you with his... God wants to protect you. You know how much God must grieve because we don't call on him? See, we think we have to con God into helping us. Work up some deal, you know. How many times have you done that? Lord, get me out of this and I'll serve you. If you just help me this time. You know. And yet, all that time, God's wanting to help us more. We want him to help us. His arms are extended. He's the one calling. Yeah. And we're the one running. He just wanting us to turn around. And, you know, the father and the prodigal son, Luke 15, if you notice, the father was in the road. You notice that? Looking down the road when the son came home, he'd been looking for him all that time. He was waiting for him, and he ran toward him when he came. When he saw him, he ran toward him. That's the picture of God. Jesus is the one who told us that parable. Don't forget. I think he knew about his father. He knew what he was talking about. Hallelujah. Well, surely he'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the noise and pestilence, the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you, fourth verse, with his feathers, and under his wings you will take refuge. That's care, and that's protection. In this life, I know we often put on front, especially guys, we're macho, and we don't want anybody to see any weakness in us, Not good at apologizing, and we need to. Sure not good at crying. I didn't used to be, but I'm an expert at it now. I think the older I get, the better I get at crying. But it used to be macho, you don't do that. You don't do that. I don't know why that is in America. It's the only place it's that way. If you study history, people, big men that fought, warriors, they'd cry, they'd weep in public. There was times for weeping. Are you with me? Not at pain per se, but at life, the tragedies of life. And in joy they'd weep. David cried. Come on, it's not manly. They said, it's not manly to do that. Well, it sure is in the Bible, and it sure is in history. Are you with me? But, sometimes guys, we kind of hold back and, we don't. Got to let it go, amen? Okay, I'm going to go on. Forget that. Y'all stay with me. God wants to protect us. He wants to love us. He wants to... We need protection. There are times, even as men and women, of course, that you're not... Come on, you're not so big after all. All right? And we all knew that. It's time you got a hold of it. There are no super men. There are no super women. Life sometimes can throw stuff at you that, it's overwhelming. It's beyond you. It is beyond you. Sometimes you're over your head. Most of the time, I'm over my head, if you want to know the truth. But that's okay, because then I can let the current carry me where God wants to carry me. Are you with me? Because as long as I got a little control up here sometime, I can resist. But if I just say, I'm over my head every day. I need God every day. I need His direction. I need His flow. I need Him to help me. I need Him to cover me with His wings. Don't ever think you don't need God's protection and you don't need Him as a refuge. You do. You absolutely do. In fact, He is our strength, and He is our wisdom, and He is our direction. Hallelujah. It's a great day when you figure that out. Amen. Hallelujah. But He will strengthen you, and He will give you, He'll make you stand. Hallelujah. So He says, under His wings, you will take refuge. His truth will be your shield and buckler. I love that. That's how you defend yourself, okay? It's your shield. The buckler is just another shield, another word for shield. In fact, where it says shield and buckler, they had two shields. They had big shields, and then they had small shields that they strapped on their arms. A lot of times the archers would use those type shields. Or in close-in fighting, they would use them, and they called that a buckler. But it's both those were shields. Shield and buckler, shield, big shield, and little shield is what it meant. So whatever it is, kind of shield you need, the word is that to you. His truth will be your shield and your buckler. When the enemy throws his darts at you, when the enemy throws his best shot at you, when those lies start flying, you can hold up the word and it won't get in you. Are you with me? Well, you're never going to make it. You're no good. You never done anything good in your life. You know you're worthless, and your mama didn't like you, your daddy didn't like you. You never done a good thing in your life. Hello? Put your shield up. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have become new. All things have become new. And everything's of God. And I'm more than conqueror through Him that loved me. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. And greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. And all of a sudden the shield just stops all that stuff and it never gets in you. Are you with me? Woo! I love that. Truth, 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 truth. We were talking about this today and I've said it many times. But truth always overcomes the facts. Always. The fact is, you may have a bad situation going on in your life right now. The fact is, your bank account may say something. The fact is, the doctor may have said something. The fact is, this is going on with your kids. That may be a fact. No one's denying the fact. But the truth of God's Word will overcome the facts.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fact is, you may feel sick, but the truth is, you're healed by the stripes of Jesus. So the truth trumps the facts in every case. Because the facts are always changeable, the truth's not. We look not at things which are seen, which they are temporal and changing, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. The fact is, it doesn't look good. The truth is, you're going to make it. The truth will overcome the facts. You don't deny the facts. They're there. They're real. You know, when we talk about miracles and we talk about signs and wonders and answered prayer, come on, we're not... Let's don't be... foolish here. We're not saying there's not problems here and there's not things going on and the doctor says this and the bank account says that, and we see all that. There's just something that's greater than that, more permanent than that, higher than that, stronger than that, that if we'll yield to, we'll overcome that. Gravity's real, but the power of force will hold this Bible up even though gravity's real. I'm not denying gravity. I know gravity's real. I'm just not giving in to it right now. Hello. I could. Well, gravity, you know, I couldn't help it. Gravity just pulls things down. Yeah, but you can pick it back up. Yeah, but I mean, that's gravity, man. What are you going to do about gravity? You saying that's not real? No, I'm just saying that I can overcome gravity. I can pick this back up. Hallelujah. Thought I'd messed up there when I dropped that. Popped a rib out of joint this week, and Dr. Bart just put it in this afternoon, put it back in. So, sorry, I took my breath away when I did that. But anyway, I'm healed in Jesus' name.
That's right.
But, you know, we talk about facts like they're eternal. They're not eternal. God's Word's eternal. Well, this may be the fact, but I know the truth. And the truth will overcome the facts. You may be going through that. I understand that. I see that. I've been there myself. Hallelujah. We all been there. But you know what? There's a truth here that can overrule that thing. Man, that's better preaching. Y'all are amening.
Yeah.
Am I just going to have to amen myself?
No.
Y'all stay with me. Okay. And we're not going to get through with this. We'll pick this up next week, but I want to go a little bit further. It's good, isn't it?
Amen.
Are you listening? I mean, take notes. I mean, think about it. How are you going to apply this? What are you going to do with this? I don't know what you're going through. We all go through different things. But the answer is the same. The answer is, I will say, oh, the Lord, He is my refuge. Amen. The answer is that His truth was my shield and my buckler. I'm going to put that truth up there when that lie comes, that dart of the enemy. You know, shield of faith is what Ephesians 6 chapter says it is. Shield of holding forth the shield of faith by which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. A few of them, one or two, 9 out of 10. No, it says all the fiery darts of the wicked. My, how powerful words can be, how they hurt and how they destroy and how they tear up and how they beat down, how they ruin your day. You know, if you don't believe that, just think in your life when something tragic has happened, when the bad news has come, a bad report has come. I mean, the sun is shining. It is a beautiful day. It's ruined by words. You know what I'm talking about? You can't even enjoy the day because they just hang there. They hang there. And they get in here and they hang there. Well, that's what God's trying to say. Hey, we can put a shield up here. No, we can't insulate from everything. I understand that. There's a certain amount of good about sorrow. Sorrow is a wound. It's a clean wound. It'll heal. It's a clean wound. You know, and we grieve, but grief's not eternal. You can get over grief. You can heal up from grief. But you don't have to be afraid of the bad report when it comes. You can stand there and you can make it and you can get over it. Hallelujah. Be not afraid of evil tidings. Psalms 112 tells us that. You know, don't be afraid of evil tidings. It says the righteous man, it says he is not afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting the Lord. Woo! Well, here's a shield. The truth of God's Word is a shield for that. Amen? Man, it's good stuff. See, life's a battle. You know that and I know that. But God has given us some weapons to make it. And God Himself is our refuge, and God Himself is our fortress. Hallelujah. And He will help us. Woo! I love it. So, it says this, fifth verse. Hey, we're on the fifth verse. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. Love it. Don't have to lay down in fear, people. You know, that's when you're unprotected in the natural, but you know, God will be your mainstay. You don't have to be afraid of the terror by night. Nor for the arrow that flies by day. Now, see, in battle, that was a pretty big deal because you could see the guy in front of you, but you didn't know where the arrows were coming from. I mean, come on, man. You're fighting there. Your eyes are on the guy in front of you, and you got your shield and your sword. But, you know, those guys shooting those arrows, you don't have a clue. So in the natural, it's just a chancy thing. You know, it's just playing the odds whether you're going to live or die with the arrows. But supernaturally, you didn't have to be afraid. That's what the psalmist was saying. Because God would protect you. And a lot of unknowns in life. I mean, there's a lot of things I know I can avoid. There's a lot of things I can foresee and avoid. That's just wisdom. You know, if you'll notice, most of the killings that take place in major cities, Dallas for one, usually they're in places that I don't go. I can avoid a lot of that stuff. Shootings, killings, stabbings, you know, they're generally in bars or strip joints or somewhere. Just those are places I don't go. So I've avoided a lot of pain, a lot of grief, a lot of misery, and I have a lot of confidence in my life, and I'm going to live another day because I don't go to some of those places. But see, then there's some things I don't know, I can't avoid. Are you with me? But here's, God will protect you from the unknowns. Isn't that good? Things you do know, well, yeah, use some wisdom. Praise God, He gives you a whole Bible full of instruction on how to live and how to avoid a lot of stuff. But even what you don't know, what is unknown, the arrow that flies, and by day, you can avoid it. Praise God. Isn't that good? Yeah. You should not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. Pretty well covers it. Amen. Night, day, darkness, noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. They may all die of whatever it is you've been diagnosed with on the soap operas. Hello. But you know, praise God, we've got some hope here and some help here that 1,000 may fall at your side, but 10,000 at right hand, but it'll not come near us. Only with our eyes we'll see and look and see the reward of the wicked. Praise God. Man, that's a good promise to stand on, isn't it? And that's not condemnation to anybody that's died. One good thing about Christians, when you die, you go to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. And young or old, you know, I think you're about to live a good life. In fact, He even promises that in this psalm. But no matter what happened, no matter how it happened, you know, if they're Christians and they're going on to be with the Lord, they're in a whole lot better place than we are. So you don't lose. You know, and I hear some people take the extreme and start blaming people for their own death. They died early, didn't have to die early. And I think in some cases you probably could prevent that, but that's not always the case. Come on. Are you with me? The good news is everybody goes to heaven. It's a Christian when they die. Praise God. Good news is you wouldn't want them to come back from there for nothing. That's right. Are you kidding me? I remember, you know, Brent and I heard a story about a guy that he was a preacher. And, you know... He'd heard stories about people had gone to heaven and seen Jesus and didn't want to come back and so on. His wife had said, Lord, you know, they'd already talked about it, you know, that they ever saw Jesus, they didn't know if they'd come back. I think that happens in a lot of cases. I think people get in the hospital, they're bleeding for healing, whatever, and whatever, in the playing around with death, on the edge of death, you know, and they see heaven, and my goodness, how could you come back if you saw that? There are some that have come back, but I don't know how you'd want to come back from a place like that. You're talking perfect peace, perfect joy. You're talking about what you look for all your life. You've never had a day in your life as good as one moment in heaven. That's right. And you cross over there, I don't know if you'd come back. I mean, there's been cases where people have been sent back, but this accident, and this woman was there.
He had a heart attack,
and she was just praying, oh, Lord, don't let him see you. Lord, don't let him get a glimpse of you. She was praying, you know, and he actually had died. And they had brought him, the paramedics had brought him back, you know, and I guess, you know, clear and done all that stuff. And he came back and she said, what happened? He says, I went to heaven. He said, it was the most glorious thing in my life. The peace of God just came all over me. And he says, I heard Jesus and I turned to see him and a hand just came over my face. And I came back into my body. True story. I mean, this really happened. That woman prayed that he wouldn't see Jesus. Because she didn't think he'd come back. And he said, a hand. He could hear him. And he said, a hand just came. I turned to see him. And hand covered my eyes. It just covered my eyes and I came back into my body. Ooh, man, I'll tell you, that's get Holy Ghost bumps all over me just thinking about that. Well, praise God. God's got good things in store for us, amen. I don't know what you heard on the news lately, but God's got good things in store for us. I don't know what you've been listening to, who you've been listening to, but I know God has got good things in store for us. In fact, God's good. He's a refuge. He's a strength. He's a fortress. He's a strong tower. He's a life giver. He's a blesser. He's a protector. And he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah.